Let's go and welcome aboard here, because if we're talking about a broker convention, famously 1912, we've referred to it many, many times. Theodore Roosevelt, who was the most famous man in the world at that time, ran for president. He ran for the nomination of the Republican Party, and to the extent that we had primaries, he was the choice of the people. But the party elders, gathering in convention, gave the nomination, of course, to the incumbent president of the United States, William Howard Taft, who was Theodore Roosevelt's friend and hand-picked successor. And, of course, that resulted in Theodore Roosevelt bolting. He got shot, gave the speech anyway, Bull Moose Party. And it split the vote, with Woodrow Wilson becoming the next president of the United States, Theodore Roosevelt coming in second, and Taft a third place finisher. Joining us right now is the USC communications professor and the author of a wonderful new book called The People Rule, Theodore Roosevelt and the Birth of the Presidential Primary. It's a pleasure to welcome to the show Jeffrey Cowan. Good morning, Mr. Cowan. How are you?
Good morning, Doug. It's fun to be on your show.
Welcome aboard. We're happy to have you. The 1912 race is one of the most interesting. There were actually four candidates in that race. Eugene Debs, talk about a parallel. An avowed open socialist was also in the 1912 race.
That's right. And actually, there was a fifth party that also got more than 1% of the vote, which was the Prohibitionist Party. So it was a crazy time.
And we certainly have a crazy time now. Let's give us a little backstory, since you literally wrote the book on it. The primaries, which have become so important in the modern era of politics, were really, they are a relatively recent invention. And historically speaking, they were mostly just beauty pageants. That's all they were. They were just kind of getting a sense of the room.
Well, until 1912, there were no presidential primaries in which voters could directly express a preference and have it matter as to who would delegates would vote for at a convention. So the conventions were all picked by party leaders, kind of like today's superdelegates on the Democratic side. But then what happened was, Roosevelt, when he tried to come back and get the presidency by challenging, as you said, William Howard Taft, his handpicked successor, he found he couldn't win those old party leaders back. So he joined with Robert La Follette, who, by the way, was from Wisconsin and a little like Bernie Sanders.
Yeah.
But he joined with Robert La Follette to create presidential primaries, and there were 13 of them that year, and Roosevelt won 9 of the 13 and went to the convention with having won 70% of the contested delegates. But there weren't enough contested delegates to determine the outcome of the convention. And so that's where the battle took place on the floor of the convention that year.
Yeah, and that's why Roosevelt felt that he had a claim on the nomination based on popular support, because where there had been primaries, he had been winning them. And it really is amazing, Jeff, how what's old is new again, because here we are in 2016, and we're talking about brokered conventions, and we're talking about swaying delegates and superdelegates that are pledged, and we're also talking about a candidate who's a socialist, and yet there we were in 1912 with really, as you correctly point out, Robert La Follette of Wisconsin and obviously Eugene Debs were both really socialists, so 100 years ago.
Well, and one of the things that happened that year that's so interesting, and you know, politics is politics, right, and part of what makes it so much fun to be a talk show host and an expert like you are, but people run to where they think the voters are. And that year, Roosevelt was not so much of a progressive at first, but he knew that to get the nomination, once he was running in the primaries, he had to run to what you could consider today his left, because La Follette was also running. And if you think of it, La Follette was a little like the Bernie Sanders candidate, and Roosevelt was maybe a little like Hillary Clinton candidate, and Roosevelt decided to be more and more like La Follette in trying to get the nomination.
We're talking with Jeffrey Cowan. His book is called The People Rule, Let the People Rule, Theodore Roosevelt and the Birth of the Presidential Primary. Jeffrey, talk to us about what you see happening here. Based on the landscape that we're looking at, are we looking at a brokered convention on the Republican side?
Well, it looks like we are, and I think there's a remote chance it, by the way, could also happen on the Democratic side, remote. But that's what Bernie Sanders is hoping for. Brokered in the sense that it's a decision that's made not just by the voters, but by the delegates who were picked by the voters. I think at the moment, the percentages seem to be that will happen on the Republican side. And if you want to sort of imagine some parallels, and who knows, history tells us a lot, but the history doesn't repeat itself exactly. But in Roosevelt's case, there were a lot of his supporters who wanted to walk out of the party and start their own new party. So there were delegate challenges. I can tell you at least one that's going to happen on the Republican side like it. In credentials committees, on the floor of the convention, Roosevelt claimed that the election had been, the nomination had been stolen on the floor as well as by the party bosses. And so he thought he had the legitimacy to walk out of the convention and become the true candidate of the people. I think there's at least a remote chance that something like that happens with Trump this year.
Now, you know, of course, it would be spectacular political theater. There are so many wild cards that make this different. I mean, traditionally, when you had a convention, when the conventions were real conventions, the demonstrations on the floor were actually part of the process. And by demonstrations on the floor, I mean marching bands and seeing how long could you monopolize the floor by literally having your gang cheer and throw confetti around. It's crazy, but that's what it was. It became a lung power issue as well.
Well, in fact, Doug, as you know from my book, when Trump said there would be riots at the convention if he wasn't nominated, and that, you know, provoked rightly a lot of concern. But actually, that was the plan of Roosevelt supporters at the 1912 convention. They had filled the galleries with their supporters. In those days, by the way, today there's even a debate over whether people should have guns and if people had guns at the convention. Secret Service has decided not. But Roosevelt supporters, some of them were the people from the Rough Riders who had been his colleagues and friends in Cuba in the Spanish-American War. They were there prepared to create every bit of chaos they could. And this is a word that was used by one of Roosevelt's best friends to him. They were there to terrorize them on the floor. And that almost happened in the convention.
Listen, if it's one of the what-ifs of history, which is one of the games that those of us who are into history like to play. In 1860, in Chicago, at the Wigwam, which is where Abraham Lincoln was nominated for the presidency, if that convention had not been in Chicago, it is entirely likely that Abraham Lincoln never would have been president of the United States because he had the home field advantage and his supporters could pack the arena and
Kasich was probably at one time hoping that Cleveland would provide something like that for him.
Yeah, absolutely. The home court advantage actually can play into this if you're doing it by the old way of actually just stampeding a convention in your direction. So it's going to be utterly fascinating to see how that plays out. Now, the question is, with Donald Trump, we have a sort of low-rent version of Theodore Roosevelt in that if he doesn't get the nomination, the man who wrote The Art of the Deal can't close the deal by getting 1,237 delegates. If they go in a different direction than Trump, he does have the resources, if he chooses to spend them, to run as a third-party candidate and to bolt the convention and virtually guarantee that whoever the Democrats nominate is going to win.
Yeah, I think it's going to be the one thing that is different now. I think it's harder at that stage to create a third party than it was in 1912. You could debate whether it ought to be easier or harder to create third parties. You know, the rules of the elections change from year to year and from state to state, surprisingly, even though these are presidential contests. So it may be too late for him to get on many state ballots, but he's threatened to try, and he is no longer promised to pledge to support the party's nominee.
Yes, that's a real possibility. So we're looking at some profound. And then, of course, the irony of the 1912 convention was that Roosevelt bolted the party, but he also, after the passage of a few years, was the presumptive nominee for 1920 of the same party that he had nearly destroyed. He managed to heal the rift, and had he not died in January of 1919, at the age of 60, he very well likely would have been reelected in 1920.
That's true. And in 1916, actually, even though there still was a Progressive Party that was the successor or the one that he had more or less created in 1912, he supported the Republican nominee, who was Charles Evans Hughes. And Hughes only lost that race to Wilson in that reelection year because of California. Just, Doug, just to tell you and your listeners one thing that could be fun to anticipate. So credentials challenges, we haven't seen them for a long time, but you and I remember them from conventions gone past. South Carolina, I believe the rules in South Carolina are that Trump won all 50 delegates in South Carolina, I believe, because but after making the promise that he would, the pledge that he would vote for the support the party's nominee. Now, if he breaks that pledge, if he no longer keeps that pledge, what happens to those 50 delegates?
Yeah, that's...
And that could be a fight on the floor of the convention. And one of the battles that's going on right now is, how do people vote on credentials challenges and other rules, even if they're pledged to one of the candidates? Because even though Trump has won so many primaries, he has not bothered to do the mechanical work of making sure that the delegates who will be going to the convention are actually for him.
Yeah, well,
and
that's right. Absolutely. Hey, listen, Jeffrey, thank you so much. Jeffrey Cowen, GEOFFREY Cowen.